In a little Swedish town stands Villa Villakula, home to perhaps the most unconventional 9-year-old in literary history. Pippi Longstocking lives entirely alone, with no parents to tell her when to go to bed or how to behave. Her mother died when she was a baby, and her father, a ship's captain, was blown overboard during a storm. Rather than accepting his death, Pippi remains convinced he survived to become king of cannibals on a distant island. Before settling in Villa Villakula, Pippi sailed the seas with her father, collecting experiences, treasures, and superhuman strength that allows her to lift a horse, which she promptly installs on her front porch. When neighboring children Tommy and Annika first encounter this curious red-haired girl with mismatched stockings walking backward down the street, they're immediately drawn into her orbit. Their first visit introduces them to Pippi's chaotic but joyful approach to life, making pancakes by tossing eggs in the air and flipping batter across the kitchen. Through this contrast between conventional children and one who lives entirely by her own rules, we're invited to question societal norms about childhood, independence, and the boundaries we place on young people's autonomy. What if children were allowed to define their own limits? What might they be capable of if we trusted them more? Being a turnip stuffer is Pippi's philosophy, her made-up term for someone who finds interesting things waiting to be discovered. Where others see trash, Pippi perceives treasures. On a neighborhood search with Tommy and Annika, she treats rusty cake tins and cotton reels as valuable discoveries, showing how perspective determines what we consider precious. This lesson offers a powerful counterpoint to consumer culture. Do we really need expensive toys when imagination can transform anything into something special? Their adventure shifts when they encounter bullies tormenting a smaller child. Pippi confronts the leader and, when pushed, demonstrates her extraordinary strength by effortlessly lifting each bully, placing them in trees and on gateposts. This shows how Pippi uses her unusual powers not for personal gain, but to protect others, revealing her moral compass despite her disregard for conventional rules. Through turnip stuffing, we're challenged to see our surroundings with fresh eyes. Adventure doesn't require exotic locations, just a willingness to see the extraordinary in the ordinary. When policemen arrive to take Pippi to a children's home, they meet unexpected resistance. Pippi subverts their authority through wordplay and literal interpretation. When told she needs a children's home, she counters that she already has one. She's a child, and it's her home. When they try force, she turns their mission into a game, climbing onto her roof and eventually carrying both officers by their belts to the road like misbehaving children. This scene inverts the power dynamic between children and authority figures. The policemen, representing established order, are rendered helpless by a child who refuses to acknowledge their authority. Yet Pippi doesn't reject them personally. She later offers them burnt ginger snaps, showing her quarrel is with the constraints they represent, not individuals. Ultimately, authorities decide Pippi can stay at Villa Villakula. The system must bend to accommodate her exceptional nature. This encounter questions whether power is legitimate simply through official positions or if authority should earn respect through reason. Pippi's playful resistance demonstrates that serious questions about power can be explored with humor rather than hostility. When Tommy and Annika convince Pippi to try school, she arrives dramatically on horseback at 10 o'clock. Despite a warm welcome, her classroom behavior challenges convention, giving outlandish answers to arithmetic, turning letter recognition into wild stories about snake fights, and creating artwork on the floor instead of paper. After recess, the teacher speaks privately with Pippi, who admits finding school too confusing rather than showing defiance. When the teacher expresses disappointment, Pippi explains her unusual upbringing left her without knowledge of proper behavior. The understanding teacher suggests Pippi might return when older, and grateful Pippi gives her a gold chain. This episode offers a nuanced critique of standardized education. Without dismissing schooling entirely, it questions whether conformity should be education's price and if one-size-fits-all approaches serve diverse talents. The teacher's acceptance of Pippi's difference models the educational flexibility relevant to debates about alternative learning approaches. Pippi's relationship with truth challenges conventional moral lessons about honesty. When a passing girl asks if they've seen her father, Pippi spins an absurd tale about a Chinese man with enormous ears, later casually admitting she'd been telling fibs. Pippi doesn't lie for personal gain. She fabricates stories for the joy of storytelling. Her tales aim to entertain and expand ordinary reality, not deceive. When the children discover a hollow oak tree, Pippi reimagines it as a secret observatory, transforming an everyday environment through imagination. This approach distinguishes between harmful deception and creative storytelling. Pippi's tales harm no one while bringing color to ordinary interactions. They demonstrate imagination's power to transcend literal reality's limitations. Children naturally blend fact and fiction in play as a way of exploring possibilities beyond immediate experience. Through Pippi, childhood creativity is validated within a moral framework. Her fabrications differ clearly from lies told to hurt others or avoid consequences. When faced with cleaning her kitchen floor, Pippi ties scrubbing brushes to her feet and skates across it, transforming a chore into play. On a picnic, she lifts a blocking cow to demonstrate her strength. After eating, she attempts to fly by stepping off a cliff, landing with a thud because she forgot to flap and had too many pancakes. When Tommy encounters an angry bull, Pippi breaks off its horns and rides it until it exhausts itself. These episodes showcase Pippi's distinctive approach to challenges. Where convention suggests caution and following rules, she embraces spontaneity, direct action, and creative solutions. Her seemingly chaotic methods prove remarkably effective while transforming potentially stressful situations into exciting adventures. Through Pippi, we learn that many limitations are self-imposed. Her freedom stems not just from extraordinary strength, but from her willingness to imagine solutions beyond conventional boundaries. When we free ourselves from rigid thinking about how things should be done, we discover more creative and often more effective possibilities. When thieves attempt to steal Pippi's gold, she overpowers them, but doesn't punish them. Instead, she makes them dance until 3 a.m., feeds them a feast, and even gives each a gold piece for their trouble when they leave exhausted. This response inverts conventional notions of crime and punishment. While most children's stories show wrongdoers receiving proportional consequences, Pippi suggests an alternative moral framework based on transformation rather than retribution. She treats the thieves not as inherently bad people, but as individuals who made poor choices, who might be redirected through kindness. Pippi's approach challenges punitive measures, implying that people may steal from need rather than inherent criminality. This sophisticated moral lesson offers a glimpse of restorative rather than retributive justice. True strength lies not just in physical power, which Pippi certainly possesses, but in the moral courage to respond to hostility with kindness.